This week on RSBNB Update, Clan Improvements Are Here, featuring the Avatar rework, changes to the Citadel, Clan Broadcast, and the removal of Orts. Also thoughts on the beach and what exactly is Adventure Calls. This is RSBNB Update, episode 682, recorded Thursday, August 2nd, 2018. Shaken, not stirred. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update this week. This week is the Clan Improvement Week episode. Tanis, you're back as per usual. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And also joining us this week is Sirion from Clan Quest, who, you know, has some experience running a clan and the like. And, you know, I think I have some experience, too. I don't know if you do, Tanis.
I've always been in the upper leadership while not being an owner.
Okay. So, what do you guys think? Should we discuss clan improvements, or should we just, you know, sit here and, you know, hatch some conspiracy theories and, you know, think about what, you know, might be announced or might not be announced?
You know, there will be plenty of time for that, but I feel like this is some of the most monumental clan improvements we've had since the Citadel came out. So,
sure.
Fundamentally changed a lot of stuff, and so I mean, how would we not?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I mean, so it is long overdue, these updates, and what surprised me is how long it took for them to end up in the game. Because if you we saw previews for these updates as early as a year ago in places like
the earliest was the broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. So they've been talking about this update for a long while now, and it surprises me how it took this long for it to appear in game, and it came around really quickly as well, because they didn't announce this for July. This was basically sort of a stand-in replacement for the second elite dungeon. It genuinely makes me wonder if they had this just sitting on the shelf or something like that. But I'm really surprised.
I think it was in QA, and then, you know, they just decided it was time to put it out.
Put out fires.
We rarely see improvements to the clan system. I think they were among the latest to even be updated, like to the new UI style. And it makes sense, because if you look at the number of people that actually interact with these systems, it's only a very small fraction of the
player base that
goes into this.
And from that logic, it's a question of, is it worth putting the time into it?
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I also find that it has such a big effect on the game. Like, one of the things they changed is that now everybody can just take out the Avatar, right? The Avatar, I'll talk a bit more about the Avatar later. But that was a big problem in our clan, and it had influence on how we had to do the ranking and how we had to make some changes to make that work. And this is just one of the things they changed, and like lots of things that clan system was limited, which limited our usefulness and creativity and our ability to move the community forward. So I think the impact of the clan system has always been underestimated. So I'm really happy to see these changes. On the other hand, I think we should also talk about the follow-up. Like, is this going to be the only thing we see on the clan system for the next few years? Or are we now actually going to start including? Because many of these fixes are relatively minor, and why are they not in the ninja section of a normal ninja week?
No,
I agree with you. Some of them are very small. Some of them are, even though they're small, they're really important, and they're late coming. I wish they came sooner. I'm actually surprised that it's a small percentage of the community. I don't know anybody that's not in a clan. So that's that's weird.
The average clan member doesn't really go into the clan interfaces.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of the
I got you. Okay.
Direction that was being taken with that.
Okay. Well, I get that then. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I think the avatar is the best place to start because that is definitely a forward-looking feature for people who are in clans. And
yeah,
you know, I think the biggest thing about this is that the avatar summoning little perk thing is not limited to a specific rank anymore. Anyone can have your own avatar. You just go summon the avatar and you get a flat 3% XP boost. And if you have a higher fealty rank, you get an extra potentially up to 3% on top of that. And you don't really need the avatar warden rank to take that out anymore. So that,
yeah.
So that was one thing that we ended up changing this week, is that we don't have that avatar warden rank anymore to, make stuff happen in that regard. So,
well, now you're stuck with what, an extra 50 admins, you know?
Oh, I mean, that's they got demoted to the to the appropriate rank. Yeah.
You're ruthless, dude. Damn.
Well, there's no problem with doing that because they signed up for it. They signed up for it and it was literally just avatar.
Yeah, wow. No.
But yeah,
I've been happy.
the avatar is, I've been thinking, I have always find the avatar system a bit strange, right? So if you go back to when avatars were originally introduced, like, there were these massive things, like, there were a lot of complaints because they were like 3x3 tiles big, and yeah. I think they were there to really, they were really avatars, right? They were supposed to, like, if you have like a big clan event, you're sort of supposed to have the avatar there and be part of you. If you are like out in the wild and doing a conga line, the avatar is supposed to be there as,
yeah,
literally an avatar, like as a big flag for your clan.
But it's just a hunk of rock.
Yeah, but it has a big flag, and if you look at the bonuses, the bonuses are sort of, they're substantial, but on the other hand, they're also sort of token bonuses, right? 3%. Like, it's much easier
and
to get.
And even then, I never went to hunt down a bonus from the avatar.
You know, I didn't either, but in EfficiencyScape, don't underestimate the 3%. Because exactly. Some and people will not do anything without an avatar bonus.
And exactly. And I think that is sort of the thing that might have been underestimated by Jagex as well. Like, people were like, okay, I can get this XP boost, and avatars turned into this sort of thing of being an avatar into this permanent XP boost when you're in a clan. And like, during bonus experience weekends, people were absolutely anal if the avatar was not where it was supposed to be. And people would be really, really mad if, like, if you accidentally logged out, like, or world hopped right, or anything, and
I think I know who you're talking about, but we won't name any.
Hey,
names.
there's those people are in every clan. Trust me on that one. I've been around. They're, you know, everywhere.
I guess we have now officially, well, Jagex has now officially decided that if you're in a clan, you get a 3% experience boost, which, I don't know, there might be clans that are just there to be a clan and have avatars. I'm pretty sure they exist.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Somewhere. I mean, I suppose you still need to sort of progress your clan to get to the points where you can get the avatar and a maximum bonus, but I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, but I'm happy we don't have to deal with that on the clan admin side anymore.
Yes, definitely.
Well, there's two changes that they made that were really huge. I think make a lot of difference. One being the avatar changes, because when, I don't know if you noticed this, but when back when the Citadels and the whole avatar system was first released, you had this huge consolidation of a lot of these smaller clans got swallowed up by the bigger ones because you could not keep the upkeep up. It was impossible. Yeah. And so you couldn't have an avatar if you can't keep your upkeep up. And so you had this massive consolidation. So now we have these really big clans, which it's great that Jagex is essentially giving us a bonus to be in a clan. That's kind of, you know, they're kind of steering people to do the social game. Okay, that's fine. But I wish this had been earlier, so it could have saved – the little clans that, you know, people found their niche, you know, it wasn't. And now I feel like a lot of times you might join a clan that you're not in love with just so you can have that avatar bonus.
I mean, I think the number of people you needed for a clan citadel and the different levels were really, really big to begin with. I think it was like up to 50 or maybe even 100 for like the highest tier.
Yeah.
And that has dropped down. Like they've dropped it down before and they dropped it down again. Like small clans are, well, they now have an opportunity to make a comeback.
Yeah, now they can. They were crushed in the beginning, but they have been lowering it. This week, did you guys cap at your citadels this week? I was shocked. Like I haven't been there. Well, I haven't really been to my citadel to max since I maxed, right? You know, we got 500 people. You know,
exactly.
200 of them cap every week, and ours isn't mandatory or anything. So, but I went back to this week to check
you
this out.
You have 200 active members.
Oh, at least. Yeah, dude, it's a 500-person clan. It's a big clan of active people. Yeah, we call it the retirement home because most of us are older. That's why things go real easy in our clan. It's nice and calm. But it's fast. Like, it's really fast, and I will probably cap from now on because they made it so much better. I know that's not exactly the avatar, but I think those are two huge, you know.
Do you still get the same amount of experience for get fully capping? Like, did they also, like, if it's now faster to do so, is it also faster to get that same experience? Because I saw they boosted the experience on, like, most of the things as well, and the loom was... I mean, we always ended up with a massive surplus of, what is it, linen, like the crafting resource, because everybody just went there for the crafting experience. And we had this time where we would lock resource plots if not all goals were met and that we met the goal for that plot. And people were pretty pissed about it at times.
Yeah,
they just went there for crafting experience, and it's still probably the best way to get free crafting experience in the game. And then they opted even further to make it even faster and more experience. So I don't know how I feel about that. It feels being in a clan should be a reward on its own, and at this point it starts to become almost
it's just something you do.
You know, it's also giving you a reward because, let's face it, it's not all lollipops and rainbows being in a clan either. I mean, you got to deal with a lot of crap sometimes. I mean, you did. You're no. I mean, you know.
I know for sure. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. Jay knows.
We all know. It's just, I don't know. So I mean, a little extra, but what we're talking, like 230K, I think, was about what you got on the loom. You know, it's once a week. I mean, if you look at it that way, it's kind of like a,
to be honest, that's weekly,
you know,
now that you say 20 to 30K, that's how many lamps? 3 lamps, 4 lamps.
Yeah.
So
Or a huge one.
I guess this was a big deal when Citadels first came out. But yeah, given that context, maybe it makes sense that they increase the
Also with this, you can now customize your avatar options via the avatar control stone located near the avatar habitat. And once you've confirmed your avatar changes, you'll be informed that your clan has made these changes and you'll receive them shortly. And this is for clan admins. So I guess that's something also our people were talking about, I believe. So
three different avatars, so people could choose like how the avatar looked, and now there's just one design, and we picked like a mix of the three, I think, in the end. I didn't really
I don't care either, but that's a
and
thing.
It's now it's just visual as well, right? It's just a pet.
Yeah, like, and you can even store it in your menagerie.
And where do we get access to it? Shane, where do you find it in our plethany of interfaces? Where would you find
it? I believe it's the pets interface.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, a buff icon has been added, which will show your current skill plot bonus. So if you want to focus around that, you can do that as well in the Citadel. So I think that this is definitely the biggest change that was made this week, clan-wise. Also, the removal of orts. Anyone going to miss yeah. those?
Thank goodness. No. Oh, my. I hated them.
No. Yeah, I did not enjoy that.
They would announce they would get rid of them, like, so long ago, and I stopped bothering picking them up. And then there was, like, this one red dot on the ground, and I just couldn't resist picking it up.
Yeah. Yep. How many boosters did you guys get? I thought I had more than 10K, but I only got one booster.
Okay. I only got one, too. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I was expecting more. But
two boosters for me.
No. Let's see. What else have we got here for clan changes? General changes here for the Citadel. Citadel skill pots have had their XP increased by 20% from level 80 up to 99. And I think that's what we were just talking about. The smithing one is probably pretty good too, given the fact that it's just AFK smithing training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smithing's always been one of the better. One of the ones that I really like is it's even faster the more people you have there. So that's like, once again, they're actually doing what I wish I had been there from the beginning. So it's encouraging you to have people there to cap at the same time because it'll make it faster.
Okay.
We should have like a weekly Citadel happy hour.
That would be something to talk to the events team about.
Every clan should have a weekly Citadel happy hour.
Yeah, we always do Skilling Sunday, where we throw up portable skilling places and let people do their bank standing there.
People actually arrive for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's our longest. It's pretty much the only event we do, but we've done it since we started.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Bring some gnome cocktails, make it probably fuck yeah.
The active obelisk at the summoning skill plot will now switch every 30 seconds, previously every 16 seconds, 17 seconds. That's weird. You can now train at Citadel skill plots with skilling urns in the corresponding skill. I know many people are happy about that because they love their urns. Personally, I find urns a burden.
Yeah, but Shane, you're not in the efficiency scheme.
No.
You can't lose out XP, man.
Wood cutting, mining, and fire making skill plots will now grant more clan resources when skilling on them. Okay. Now here's a big one. Clan broadcast messages. These have been added, which tell you when your clan has hit your target goals for resources, as well as telling you when all clan resource goals have been met. And at that point, I think we can talk about clan broadcasts in general. I think we're enjoying those, aren't we? You know, just seeing when people gets a good drop or when people get a good level. I think that this is probably one of the underappreciated ones, but it's just something that fits nicely in.
It's really quite funny because, I assume most clans have like a home world. We have a home world, definitely.
Yeah.
World 66. Go figure the history on that, by the way.
I was like, huh?
Shameless plug. There should be an article on our website explaining all of this. But
on the wiki.
On the wiki, yeah. So the interesting thing is, like, we usually already see things like drops from clanmates in the normal world broadcasts. So sometimes when you're in a different world, you see people start congratulating and like saying things. You don't know what's going
on. What'd you get?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's a great addition. And I think, I mean, it is just, it's a really small thing, but this is, to me, this makes RuneScape so much fun to play. Like, when you get something, there's other people to celebrate it with. And this small addition makes it possible to just, even if it's a small thing, if one person says GZ, great, I'm happy. I'm happier.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time where I where all these achievements would be coming in. And, you know, it would just become fatiguing to type congrats every a quarter hour.
Oh, I was like,
You mean in double XP weekends?
Yeah.
Oh, double XP, I do it once when I get on. Congratulations on all your hard work. I will see you Sunday. Okay, great. Good job.
Anyway.
What else you gonna do, like, really?
And following from that, muting, you can, you know, rather than kicking people from the chat, you can now mute them and, you know, there is no way to set these mutes to expire. You just press the mute button and the person will be muted from talking. There will be a mute icon in the clanmate list. Beyond that, I don't know. There's no way to – is there any way for us to limit who can – set mutes, or is that baked into permissions?
I couldn't find the permission for that. Okay. But I think it's great. Like, if I don't want to hear about farming again, I could just mute you.
Yeah. That's a plus, right?
I think that would qualify as some kind of abuse there.
Is it, though?
Well, you know, along with the mutes, didn't we also get the opportunity to you can do a permissions for kicking now, which that is a big one. That is huge because before, I mean, anything admin up could do it in that.
Oh, yeah.
And you have all these admins, right? Because of
Avatar.
Right.
And see, that's why we had no problem. We had no problem bringing these people down because there is a form that you fill out on the clanquest.org website previously if you wanted to become an Avatar Warden. And you fill in your little name and someone will come rubber stamp it. And if you mess up, then we know who approved it and we know what you did. So that's why we had no problem doing that. And that's a huge bonus as well. What did we get? What did we set our kick rank to? Was it Overseer?
I changed it to be Overseer. And plus,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to be
honest, I don't know what ours is, but it should be high.
Don't
we have like 50
like,
people with Overseer though?
Yeah, I mean, you want kick permissions to be limited, but on the other hand, like, people won't really abuse it. Like, we never really had a trouble with somebody kicking something. Like, we had one or two occurrences, but those were actually people who were given the rank anyway. So,
right. Yeah.
If people won't do it, and if they abuse it, they know it's the end of their time in the clan. So I don't think it's a big issue. You can only kick two people a day anyway. Like, the damage you can do is almost non-existent.
Yeah, that's where the change came in. But before that, like, you know, I've said before, I've been part of a like 100-person mass kicking by a rogue admin that went crazy and was quitting anyway. Well, that's a problem when you're in a clan whose rank is dependent on XP. So it was a mess. That's actually how we have the clan we have now, because we just left and did something new. But that's why, like, you know, I'm always in favor of a higher rank. And, you know, a lot of clans will do it by committee, too. They'll kind of, like, look at a situation and be like, eh, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you're out or what. But you have the authority to do it.
Sometimes you need the direct action, but that's what the muting is for now, right? Yeah. So I think it's great. These were tools that were desperately needed. I can come up with – so that this sort of comes up with, like, one of the other big problems we have, right? We have had – situations where people were kicked, where people were devanked, where things had changed and happened, and we didn't know who had done it.
Like, bingo.
If things happen and there's no admin online to witness them, there's no audit log. And there's still no audit log.
Yeah.
Which is...
And we got our hopes up for this, because there's a section in the posting here called the clan log, and basically they say this is the clan log for Admin Plus, and when it's inside your Citadel, click the L icon, and it'll provide you with the following details. Size of the clan, how many members have visited the Citadel this week, how many members have capped, and how many members have hit fealty, which... isn't good
enough. How useful is it? Like, really?
Yeah, it's not a like, it's not a useful feature. But, I mean, I guess there are some people who want to police based on that.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing useful to that is the number of people you've had capped. You do need to know how many have visited and how many have capped if you're borderline, if you're smaller, something like that. Because if you don't have enough people visit, even if you get the cap, you'll lose everything.
I mean, the visiting thing broadcasts already anyway, and you can see that.
Does it? Okay.
And it's also in the Citadel interface.
Okay.
It's just there. So, okay. And you can check all the resources one by one to check if you're capped. So, to me, it doesn't add any value. The value would have come out of actually being able to see who did what. Like, Discord has this, right, on the server. Like, if somebody does any moderate-y stuff, it's in the audit log. If somebody on the forum does anything moderating, it's in the moderator log. And this... You are surprised how often we have to go in there and look at that. It's like... Yeah. You can either narrow down the permissions to, like, 5 people and make sure that they trust each other 100%, but, like, in many cases, you need these logs, and that's... I think it's the biggest thing I miss in the whole clan system.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
As well as a more granular control of the permissions.
Look at the stuff that Rune Clan does. Like, there's a log on the Rune Clan website. That's third party. How can Jagex themselves not do better than that?
Are you really asking that question?
No comment.
All right. In that case, the clan notice board has also received a number of buffs this week or changes. The notice board no longer shows the status of avatars and the players holding them because avatars don't really matter anymore. The notice board will automatically broadcast a reminder to your chat box when the event has 60 minutes, 30 minutes, or 5 minutes to go. That's nice.
I love it. Like, this was one of my big... The notice board was... useless because you had to manually broadcast anyway, and then you might as well type a chat message, because to put the event on the notice board in the first place you need to teleport to the clan camp, because apparently it's too hard to make the interface accessible anywhere in the world. So like this actually adds,
I just want to point out that people listening to this who aren't familiar with RS would think that we are absolutely insane for putting up with this.
we are probably.
The one interface that they don't bother us with.
Me, this is, I for the longest time did a regular event on, I think it was Saturday evening, Sunday evenings, I don't even remember. And I always had to be there an hour in advance to start spamming messages and get people to come there, which means that the event, who in itself took like 10 minutes to host, for me, the organization part was like 1.5 hour to make sure that there were messages. And now I can just log on 5 minutes before, in theory, run the event and be gone.
If people will decide to come, that's the question.
If people decide to come, you need to poke them like personally by PM to usually come up, show up, to be honest. But still, I think this is great. And especially if you're a clan that runs heavy on events, like logging in and seeing like in your login, like the next event in like 5 minutes. I think it's great, and I think it was what the notice board system was missing.
Yeah. Also with this, the notice board and notice board broadcast interfaces have had a text revamp and cleanup, and the notice board only uses game time now to stop confusion of clan versus game time in events. And I think everything should use game time now, because everyone can pop that little clock up on their screen, and there you go. So, if you haven't logged in for over an hour and you log in when the event has less than 60 minutes to go until it starts, you'll get a reminder in your chat box.
Yeah, together with the bazillion other lines you get.
You think Core would still be going on if these changes happen? No?
Yeah, maybe, actually. Yeah, maybe. I think that's the other good thing, right? Sometimes you have these decentralized events. You just have this time slot. Like the skilling one, I think, is a great example. I don't think it's a single person that needs to run something like that. You just need to come together. And if you log in and you see that the event is going to happen, anyone can just pick up and tell people, oh, hey, I'll bring the furnaces and Fletchers, and we can go wild and drink some cocktails.
Yeah, furnaces, ovens, good time for skilling all around. They also added a bunch of activities to the notice board, including raids and elite dungeons, invention and portables, safe cracking, Guthixian caches and demon flash mobs, and Borehole now says Virago in the event place category, which I guess that's where the official name for where Virago is. They also added a whole litany of categories. God Wars 2 for Hellware, Vindicta, Twin Fears, and Grigorovic. Mezcab, the Invention Guild, Clan Chant, Combat Academy, Lost Grove, Eastern Lands, yada, yada, yada. Deep Sea Fishing, Armadillo's Tower, Behind the Scenes, Gower Farm, and Solak. I love that they put Behind the Scenes and Gower Farm in there.
That's kind of cool. Kind of remind people that it exists,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And they do that as well with the Master Clue Scroll.
Is the Fisher King realm there, though?
No, but the islands that were once turtles are, as well as Twilight in the Eastern Lands. I know how much you love the Ark there, Sirion.
I love the Fisher King's Islands. Fisher King Land. What is it? I don't know.
I don't even know where that is.
You call yourself a quester?
Yeah. I don't know where that is.
The Fisher King Land is, I think it's from the Arthur series. You can only get there by ferry ring.
Oh, okay. That would explain.
It's the one where you get the Holy Grail, if I remember.
Oh, okay. Damn, that was a long time ago.
It used to be Clan Quest's go-to event gathering location.
Okay. All right.
It's like, we used to do penguins like every Saturday, and that's where we would start by gathering.
Yeah.
And you have the ferry ring right there, so it's like you could go everywhere.
Yeah, that works. All 27 skills have been added to the place category, which will allow you to determine which skill you want your clan competitions to be focused on.
I had a laugh at this
one. Oh, that's awesome.
I had a laugh at this one because this sounds like such a hack, but it's really smart to think about it.
Yeah, so I guess the logic is that if you're having a competition, you would just say that it's fletching. The place is fletching.
No, that's great, because we run competitions like weekly, and we do it through Rune Clan. But to be able to check this while you're in game, that's cool.
I wonder. You think there'd be a demand for this clan wise, like a modern XP clan focused competition web portal that could make things happen?
If you combine it with like an audit log and just an event log,
I can't do an audit log or an event log for the clan system.
Oh, you would write this yourself. I don't know. Maybe.
I was thinking about possible things, but that's a topic for another day. When selecting the NA option on the world tab, it'll now display NA in the broadcast, notice board, and clan flags instead of world 201. And years 2012 through 2017 have been removed from the notice board. So, there we have it. That's it for the notice board. I think the next thing I wanted to talk about was the message of the day settings. We're not using these here at Clan Quest because we don't have the rank set up to use it. It's Deputy Owner Plus, and we don't use that rank anymore.
Oh, okay.
So we just got away from this whole everything has to be Admin Plus, nothing else, or Avatar 1 kicking, Admin Plus, nothing else. We got rid of it because it was awful. Oh, this message of the day thing. Let's make it Deputy Owner Plus and nothing else.
This could be massively abused if the wrong people got their hands on it, though.
I just don't get it. Why did it make the same mistakes again? I looked at the permissions, right? The Avatar permission is still there. There's like an avatar permission that's no longer relevant. Mm-hmm. Replace that with the message of the day permission.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
But the question is, how deep would they need to go in the code to make that happen? Or in the engine, for this case, being the clan?
I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, all right.
I think it involves a whole lot of spaghetti.
You know, I think we should definitely come up with one of these. I don't think that's been a topic of discussion yet. We should just set one and have it be set, you know? Maybe.
The problem is this shows up every time a user logs in, so you want to use this for announcements. It's only 80 characters, which is really short.
We could just use it to tell people that they're happy people.
Yeah. Or we could replace. Or we could do like Welcome to Scape Rune for the fun of it, and confuse the heck out of people when they log in.
Yeah,
just as a callback to. Is that line still there? Welcome to RuneScape as like first chat line.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. And you know they don't have the that. What was that random event where Scape Rune was? Bob?
Bob, the cat. No, no, Evil Bob. Was it Evil Bob?
Yeah, you got pulled away, and then it would say, Welcome to Scape Rune.
Yeah. And he had to, like, hit these balloons, and it was awful.
You guys could do a lot of fun stuff, though. You could pull, like, one line or, like, one thing out of a quest, and that could be like your daily little trivia or whatever. Be like, what quest was this? Like, you could do a bunch of fun stuff.
You have to log into the app. You can't schedule these. You have to log in every day and change them every day if you want to do that. So, yeah, the system is very, very limited. I think it could help if you have like a really important announcement, like if you, for example, have like a big meeting, like event coming up.
Yeah,
okay. Right.
Let's use it.
Then again, it just kind of get lost in the, like, I just ask, is the Welcome to RuneScape line still there? And the reason I don't know is because I just filter out anything that shows up when I log in. I have, like, there's a Grand Exchange offer that has been updated. Your ships have come. No, you have ships out of sea, followed by your ships have completed a mission because it updates, like, a few seconds after you log in. You have, like, what's your current Treasure Hunter promotion? You have, there's just so much info they show to you on login. And now that the lobby chat is persisted into the game chat, it might be that you drop in the middle of a clan conversation and it's all one big mess. So.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
All right.
I think
that's a good rationale.
Update, but mm-hmm. On the other hand, how many people are going to notice? Yeah.
All
right. Other general clan changes before we move on to the beach. Using a Vex or Cloak on clan member will now give you the option to give it to them. I think Tycho would have been happy about that back in the olden days. When you're leaving a clan, you're now prompted to provide a reason why you left the clan, and ranks with the right permission to see has left the clan broadcast will be able to see the reason provided by the leaving clan member.
Again,
this one I think is a bad idea.
No. I don't think it is. We always, like, when we see somebody leaving the clan, we usually follow up by PM and ask why. And usually it's like, I'm joining a friend's clan, or, yeah, like we don't want to bully people into staying, but we're interested in knowing. And again, this is useful, except for only to the admins that are online at that point, which is a big minority, and it's not going to be screenshotted and recorded all the time. So again, seeing this historically, like in a log, would be much, much more useful, but it's there broadcasted once and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Moving on from that, admin or higher can now kick members from the clan. We talked about that being changed. You can now set a specific value for color on your clan's motif by right-clicking the color field in the motif interface. I wish there was a limitation on who could change this in this here.
I wish there was more options. We've had the same tired old clan motif options forever.
Yeah. And see, we're just getting little, you know, buffs along the way. We're not getting anything that is outright changing the way the clan works. So that's the general mm-hmm. sentiment of these changes here. A plus 1230, plus 13, plus 1330, and plus 14 has been added to the time zone menu in the clan settings for those far-flung reaches of the world.
This was a big request, actually, in the clan leaders Discord, because there's New Zealand clans, and they were literally half the year unable to set the proper event times.
Okay. All right.
Because they go plus 13 or plus 12, which wasn't there, and...
Well, I guess that's good. Something came out of the clan leaders Discord then.
Let's not go there. I mean it serious. Just don't go there. But
if you decide to rename your clan, you can now check if a clan name is available before taking it.
Well, that's cool.
You can now recruit a clan member. when you recruit a clan member, the name of the recruiter is added to the join message to allow who's recruited who. Okay, we don't need that. We got that taken care of.
Well, that's important, though. For some clans give points on you recruited this. Like, some stuff is really picky and stuff like that, so it's good for them.
Okay. Pop-up box appears when you're invited to the clan initially. You still need to click the message in chat to accept the invite. And if you decide to remain in your clan after pressing the leave button, it'll give you a clan-specific message. Okay. So does that mean if you decide to remain in your clan after pressing the leave button, it'll give you a clan-specific message?
I think it will tell you what clan you're trying to leave, but I have no idea why that would be useful.
All right. And if you decide to continue as owner after pressing the leave button, it'll give you a clan-specific message. And the clan admin broadcast settings interface will no longer appear behind the clan settings interface. So there we go. Those are the clan updates for this week. Long time coming, and I think everyone's happy with these. I mean, it's a good update, and I don't think there's anything bad that came from this, and I don't know if there's much to complain about with this. So I think overall it's well done.
I think all the updates here were positive, but yeah. I mean, we were always wanting for more, but. To be honest, I've seen so many previews of updates and they never came. I kind of gave up on things like this ever coming out. So, I'm happy to finally see them to the game. I'm also sort of wary of how long for the next batch of these.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we also would probably have to say, you know, this was what one dev in his tap time. So,
who is now on maternity leave?
It's now on maternity leave. I don't know how that works.
Paternity leave?
Yeah,
paternity. Leave, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You guys got it. We don't. But yeah, cool. So it might be another few years before we get any more of these.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I hope. I think we can only make sure that Jagex hears that these are well received and important.
Yeah.
And positive, and maybe. They'll get the message and spend some extra time on it. But in general, the priorities seem to lie elsewhere.
All right, you guys ready to move on to the beach?
And one of the
most amazing features of the beach this year, for those of you guys watching on YouTube, you'll see that, you could take a picture at the beach with one of those little things that looks like Sarah Doman, and oh boy, your eyes look terrified here.
I mean, who wouldn't be like trying to be Sarah Doman? Come on.
So that's the biggest feature of the beach this year, is the ability to take a picture like this.
Come to the beach, be a Smurf.
And you can see my hoe sticking through the board here.
I wonder if they are going to add like these boards to other events in the future.
Oh, they damn well should. It was absolutely amazing to see this. And you know, when I was going through this, it's like, whoa, is that really the feature that we're all talking about here? Everything else is the same except for a few rewards. But oh, lo and behold, there we go. So
Fun fact. This is the third or the fourth year of the beach? I think the third, isn't it?
Yeah, 2015 was the first, I believe.
Then it's the fourth, actually. Unless it skipped a year.
Yeah, the fourth, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, for the fourth year in a row, Claudia could be killed by darts. So, that's a great grief.
They did hot fix that yesterday.
This year, they finally hotfixed it. So, yeah.
Who would want to waste a dart on Claudia?
If you're the only one who hits it, you're the only one getting rewards, and you ruin it for everyone else. And some people find it interesting and funny to ruin games online for other people.
Well, I guess there's that. Yeah.
And since Minecraft is not a big thing anymore, they can ruin all the games to ruin.
So the beach, are we going to be spending much time there this year? I mean,
I'm not. I'm max. I don't need any of the skills. I would love to do like the weight stuff for my character. But I still have the screenshots from a previous year, so
Just reuse them. And you know, there's I just have to tell everyone about this because, you know, I record the weekly bite on Mondays. You can find that at youtube.com/rsbnb. And when I was doing that, you know, I was gathering some video footage along the way for that. And, oh, we put this in and, oh, lo and behold, there's a little clan member photobombing the video there. So that was amazing to see that. But yeah, definitely go stick your head in some of these holes and take some pictures. It is kind of amusing, and I will just I'll just leave it at that. So,
is it just sourdough, man, or are there more?
I think there's a Zamorak one as well, but I'm not 100% sure. I didn't stick my head in that one. I just stuck my head in one of them and called it a day on that front. So,
stuck your head in Zamorak? Yeah, no, that doesn't sound wrong at all.
Oops. Oops, that's what happens when we don't have people here to catch these things, but there you go.
Oh, no, I was just letting that one ride. let that come up later.
I couldn't.
Okay. All right. You might be wondering about rewards at this point. Gobi Backpack, that's the general theme for this year's events. Gobi Backpack Override Token, Sandy Mall, Sandy Two-Handed Sword Override, a bunch of other Sandy Overrides, a Bucket Staff Override, a Pufferfish Launcher, Shovel Sword, Beach Armor, Beach Mint Hair. That one's interesting, I think. That might be one to go for. It turns your hair into an ice cream cone. You probably don't want that, right?
What does that have to do with mint?
I don't know. Mint chocolate chip ice cream, I guess.
Who
has
likes
that?
Mint yeah. Chocolate chip ice cream? Get out. Get out.
Beach strawberry hair, beach chocolate hair, and beach vanilla hair. So these are all ice cream related hair overrides. There's also a hot sand walk animation that overrides your standard walk animation. So that one might be fun to get. I think I might go for that one. Krusty, which I'm guessing is a crab companion pet override. Yes, definitely is a crab. So. They did add that in.
It's a bit of a crappy one, then.
Arthur? What is Arthur here? Oh, Arthur is a goby, of course. A goby pet. So I guess that's just the general theme this year, gobies and whatnot. Banana boat mount.
Something to do with that.
Yeah, probably. Banana boat mount, which can replace the terror bird override, which, I mean, looks like you're just sitting on a banana here if you want to see what it looks like. So.
Oh, you're kidding me. Yeah. It looks like you're sitting on a banana.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Am I the only one that sees something wrong with this?
I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. Huh. All right.
There's also the Sandy Sandwich resting animation.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I guess you eat a sandwich and then you throw it away because there's sand in it. And then finally, cocktail flare resting animation, which I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I mean, maybe. Looks like you're shaking a cocktail if you look at this one here. So,
I gotta get that.
That's a great one for Tatis' skilling event.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get that. Jeez, I'll go perfect with my drunk walk.
Shaken, not stirred.
Ooh, and that'd be a good title to go with it, too. So there's the handful of new rewards that come from this, in addition to the ability to take a picture at the beach. I don't think there's much else to be said about it. It's largely the same as it was before. All the events are the same as last year. Some good AFK skilling around the way, Claudia fights, and so on and so forth. But personally, I just enjoy making GP at this point, so I don't know. I don't see myself spending much time at the beach this year. So.
Yeah, I'll wait towards the end and then start buying the reward tokens.
Yeah, they're definitely going to go down. They're definitely going to go down in price. So,
yeah, because rewards are actually decent.
Yeah,
I just don't want to go down there
and
spend the time to get them.
I mean, if you want a mount, you could have a mount that makes it look like you're sitting on a banana.
Yeah.
A mount like you're sitting on a banana.
Yeah, you can mount the banana.
Nothing wrong with that sentence.
No. I mean, I feel like there's a theme here, though, because what was the other one? A terror bird?
Yeah, the terror bird already exists, and it's the one you get for free.
Oh, so you were already sitting on a pecker.
A pecker? Like, the terror bird's a pecker?
Well, Shane struggled with this one for a minute.
I don't know. I'm just going to move on to the patch notes in that case.
That's probably for the better.
I assume that means something, but I'm not going to Google anything in that regard here. So, all right.
You should Google it and make sure you record it for everybody to share.
Yeah. Make sure you get the full sentence of setting on a pick.
You guys good?
No.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Almost got someone down there on choking. All right. Moving into the patch notes then, while these two gain their composure back. Solak, only two roots will spawn on phase one of the Solak fight in group mode. Also, each Blightbound crossbow has a 25% chance of saving a Becriminal bolt when their effect activates. The blight percentage on phase two of Solak will now be drained at a faster rate, and should the hit points cap be reached, the rate at which it drains is then even greater. So this is a buff to make Solak easier to kill. You okay there, Sarion?
No. Okay. Sorry, I had to be covered with...
Blightbound crossbow drops have been made more common from group mode Solak, which is something people were complaining about. Now, here's perhaps the biggest change this week, combat-related. Erythor's Grimoire is now a pocket slot item, and it will now increase critical hit chance by 12% and increases the max damage cap up to 15,000 for an attack. And this acts as a god book requiring Torn Grimoire pages, and each page will recharge it by 45 minutes, and these pages are now dropped from Solak. So a 12% critical hit chance increase, as well as a damage cap up to 15,000.
Yeah, that's huge. That's big. So I'll never have it, but it's cool.
What was the reason for adding this? Like, this is from Solak, so I assume they added this because the Solak rewards weren't...
Because people aren't fighting Solak, I'd guess, and they need to add something, specifically these pages, to have people keep going back for those who want to use this book.
Mm. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, for the length of the fight and the difficulty of it, it's not worth it when they can go to Telos and make so much more, and it's an easier fight for them. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Now, the Lost Grove creatures, the Slayer creatures there, can drop an ancient elven ritual shard, which works the same as the Grimoire used to work, which would restore 37% of your total prayer points over 30 seconds with a 5-minute cooldown. So this used to be dropped by Solak. And, you know, in hindsight, that is a pretty boring drop when you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really cool because, like, Lost Grove creatures don't have much going for it otherwise.
No.
Let's see. Let me just have a quick look and see what this is currently going for. Ancient Ritual Shard.
Probably quite a bit.
Let's see. Ancient Elven Ritual Shard. Currently going for... they value it at 300K.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell what a thief really coming in at then.
Yeah, that's the GE value right now. So, all right, some elite dungeon changes. These changes are definitely needed, and you know were needed from the very first week that the first ED arrived. The Sanctum Guardian, Masuta, and Siryu in the Temple of Amanishi will no longer attack a player outside the arena. We suffered from that when we were there, specifically. These bosses killing people instantly when, you know, they teleport in. So that's good. Here's one for you, Tanis. The water spouts in the Masuda boss fight will no longer target a player outside the arena.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we had fun with that, didn't we?
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Eat, Tanis, eat. Keep eating.
And I guess I'll say at this point, it was revealed that they said Elite Dungeon 2 will be harder than Elite Dungeon 1, and Elite Dungeon 3 will be harder than Elite Dungeon 2, and they fully intended to be that way. So,
well, that wouldn't be such a big deal if Elite Dungeon 1 wasn't so damn difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cut off like your player base to like only the elite PVMers, and you're only going to make it worse. Like... Isn't this a great chance to sort of introduce
people to, I thought that's why we're supposed to go on story mode.
Yeah, no, but, like, isn't this a great way to, like, make the combat, like, slightly lower level, get people engaged into PvP?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what it should have been. That's what it should
have been. You get them engaged in the whole elite dungeon thing. Like, you can still cater to the elite PvMers, well, with Solak, but also with the later on dungeons and span a much wider range. And now...
See, that's the problem, though. I mean, that is, like, you're kind of getting to the heart of the problem with the Elite Dungeons. Because, yeah, the Elite PVMers, they could set it up for them, but it'll never be profitable. Unless, let's face it, they do what they do for money. Like, yeah, they enjoy it, but they do what they do for money. Like,
and that's why I think they'll be going back to Solak after this week.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe, but to me, that just cut out, like, not only are you cutting out the elite PVMers because elite dungeons aren't going to be worth enough, but you just got rid of all the other people that might have liked to try it or started it.
If it was like a proper, I mean, I thought the group size was too small to begin with, but like, I would have liked like a bit of group content like this, like relative, not too hard, relatively. Like somewhere like lying, maybe like God Wars Dungeon 2 level bosses. I think that's about right. Maybe a bit easier than that. That's fun content you can do with like a group of people where you can also afford taking on some less combat adept people and just enjoy the content together and get some dungeon.
Maybe that should have been normal mode
and
then have the hard mode when it is now, or perhaps, you know, 10-20% harder than it is now.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it should have been.
I was super excited about the whole Elite Dungeons thing, but again, there seem to be these decisions in the process that I can't backtrace to any reasonable argument. And you're right, like, it's not profitable. It scaling-wise, it's probably not going to overtake traditional dungeoneering scaling, at least not for the effort you have to do to go through the dungeon and the resources you have to spend at it. So, and it's too hard for the casual player, so you leave with nothing, and then you might as well just go to it once for story mode and get the lore out of it, and that's it.
Makes sense. It's unfortunate, because I mean, you know, and they even said it was supposed to be like God Wars 2 style difficulty, and it's not. There's nothing that I can't go down there and do by myself on day of release of God Wars 2. I can't do anything down there. Like, I literally had to stand in a corner and eat, because that's all I could do. while someone that was much better, you know, killed
the boss. I think we'll be having a lot of discussions about this in a couple of weeks.
So. Yeah, probably.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. Black Hand Tendrils in the Siryu fight will no longer target someone outside the arena. The Purple Fire in the Sanctum Guardian boss fight will do the same, no longer target someone outside the arena. The Crassian minions in the Sanctum fight will no longer target players outside the arena. You're probably sensing a central theme here. And the Masuda clone can no longer target players outside the arena. And Masuda's purple wave of AoE damage will no longer target players outside the arena. Very central theme there. So that should have been fixed on week one, but there we go. Sending private chat messages will no longer switch back to public chat when the friends list updates. That seems like a bit of an odd edge case there, but there you have it. Unlock hints to unlock Solly and the Blightbound Lasher pets have been added, and using a multi-code teleport with the portable fairy ring will now consume a charge. So, there's our patch notes for the week. You know, not too much in there that's world-shaking, I guess, but nonetheless interesting, I think, especially the Solak changes with that. So,
Yeah, because it is, it's unfortunate that it's not very profitable because it was well received. I mean, you know, that community really liked the boss, but they liked it for a couple days and then went right back to making their money.
Yeah. All right. So we're ready for this next little bit. Actually, I'm just going to play this video here that we have right now, and then we'll get our reactions to it in a bit. It's a 2-minute long video, so let's just get comfortable, everyone. Just get comfortable.
Adventurers aren't born. They are forged, and I was forged face first in the fire of the King Black Dragon. I'd have been toast if it wasn't for a passing adventurer. She saved my life. She gave me a shield, and I had my purpose. I was gonna slay that dragon. Now, there are 3 rules of dragon slaying. First rule, get yourself a sword and make the blade yourself. Second rule, don't start by fighting dragons. Try fighting something that can't swallow you whole. The third rule's the most important. Find friends who've got your back. You'll have to share your loot, sure, but friendship is probably worth it. Having mastered the 3 rules, I faced the 3-headed beast. Treated myself to a trophy. And that, my friends, is how you become a hero. Ah, rule number 4. If a dragon has more than 1 head, make sure you cut them all off. Adventure calls. You coming? I think that went rather well, don't you?
Anyone feel like they just finished watching a movie trailer?
Yeah, I think I finally figured out what it's about, too.
Okay.
That's obviously for Elite Dungeons, too. I mean, all the dragon stuff and all that.
So, I guess it's just a replacement for like the Ozan trailer that we had since a couple of years. It seems like a very generic sort of RuneScape trailer. So,
yeah, I think it's for the Elite Dungeons too, because that's all dragons, right? Dragon related. There's some kind of tie-in with the KBD. The only thing I didn't get was making your own sword, but. Seems like Elite Dungeons to me.
What do you guys think Adventure Calls is?
I don't know. I think it's like a generic RuneScape thing.
Yeah. For those of you guys who didn't notice, we have the magic of video editing and audio editing here, and Sirion's internet just disappeared. So, while that was happening, Tanis and I had a brainstorming session. What did we come up with? Number 1.
Mobile.
It could be for mobile.
Mobile beta.
mobile beta, but I don't think it's time for that yet.
I don't know.
I mean,
Group Iron Man you brought up.
Others, Group Iron Man, because it said you make the sword.
Mm-hmm. And a quest.
A quest trailer of some sort. And I don't think it's related to ED2, because ED2 was supposed to be out 2 weeks ago. Or a week ago.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you made a compelling argument for the Abbey Road stuff.
Right, and that's another thing. Yeah. For those of you guys listening to this, the score that was in that video did not come from in-game. It didn't come from the RS3 track. And back in February or January, I believe, there was a RuneScape recording session at Abbey Road. And to our knowledge, we haven't heard any of that yet. And to me, that's sounded like something we haven't heard. So that could be related to that.
I think in general, like, it can be related to something, but I feel this is because we had the old RuneScape trailer, the one with Ozan. And I think this is just a replacement for that. Like, we are going to enter, or Jagex is going to enter a new market in China with mobile. And they want to, like, this, it might be early for mobile, but the trailer is still going to be there when mobile is going to come out later this year, presumably. Okay.
So you think it's just an update on the Ozan trailer?
I think it's an update on the general trailer. Adventure Calls sounds like one of these catchphrases that RuneScape could sort of hang on to.
Well, I do have to say, whoever came up with that did a really, really bad job with it, because that is awfully close to Nature Calls, and you know what that means.
Yeah, I was doing – so they announced this Wednesday, like big surprise stream, and I was like, okay, let's see what we've heard before about Jagex Adventure Calls. And everything I saw was Idle Adventures, how it has flopped and shut down. So I don't know. Google your catchphrase.
And you know, this is another example of horrible PR, because you're going back to Idle Adventures, flop. Adventure Calls reminds people of Nature Calls, and you know what that means. Unless that's a sign for what they said when they were first talking about mobile. Go play RuneScape while you're in the bathroom.
Could they have? No. No way. Maybe.
That sounds
juvenile. But.
No, but like.
Is there a mole inside the company sabotaging their PR efforts? Because this month has been horrible. It's been horrible, not on the sense of content, but just on the sense of PR. I'm trying to remember the last time they had a month that was as bad as this PR-wise.
I think the Squeal of Fortune one comes close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
The expansion one.
The Metaphos, yeah. And plus RuneScape Adventure Calls. That almost sounds like it's marketing an expansion.
Yeah. I don't mind the catchphrase as much.
It's just a catchphrase, but I'm just reading a lot into it because that's what I do. And so...
So all of us do. That's true. I think this one is one of these times where we just shouldn't, and this is there. I mean, I think it's bad PR for the existing players. You hype them up with a surprise stream, and you get everybody talking.
Right, because there was supposed to be a live stream about this, but there wasn't. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There wasn't. No, like 45 minutes after it was supposed to start, I think they dropped the trailer, and everybody's like,
"Okay, see you next week." And to
what?
Be fair, we are recording this on August 2nd. It is presumed that we will get the August month ahead on the 3rd, on Friday.
I mean, who knows? The month ahead might have a massive announcement that ties into this channel.
And if that's the case, we'll just have to record an addendum to the podcast like we did on that U-turn week last year with Metaphos.
Yeah, but still, it seems such a weird move to just bring out this trailer without any context, without explaining what it's for. People are going to read into it. This is a big problem.
Right.
And the entire RuneScape community.
People thought it was RS4.
Yeah.
Yes. And every single time they fall into the same trap, they do something without explaining it. And then they get mad that the community gets riled up over something they didn't explain in the first place. Like,
it's the mole.
It's the mole. But who, what competitor do they have that would even put resources into making a mole?
Like, to be honest, no, I'm not going to say that. That's too mean.
It's an entertaining idea, but likely not, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't see the benefit. I think they're just bad at PR. I mean, it's not a mystery. They've been bad at it for a long time. Sirion might be right. It might just be a generic trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would have made a big deal out of it.
I'd say 75% likelihood that that's happening. Generic trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, they're renewing their trailer because it's old, because mobile is coming up. So it's a good point. They have like this cool music. They have the resources to do this. So they came up with a new trailer. Because that's what you do as a game company every now and then. And then you make a big deal out of it because
you had nothing in July.
Because apparently, yeah.
All right. Well, let's just assume then that it's going to be for something new, you know, just a new trailer for RS. Failing that, I think it could be Group Iron Man. Maybe some kind of announcement on that.
So, like assuming this is like a generic RuneScape trailer, do you feel this applies more to RuneScape than the old Ozan one?
I don't see RuneScape in there at all, because who makes their own sword at this point?
Oh, burn.
Well, I should say I do see RuneScape in there in terms of the content and the characters and the style.
To be honest, if you're going to kill KBD, you're going to have something that is better than what you can actually make yourself in-game right now anyway.
Yeah.
So, no, fair enough.
Maybe it's some free-to-play content.
Maybe it's the Binding of Smithing rework trailer.
Ooh, no. That's another one. Make your own sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's anything.
And, you know, I actually thought of that when but then Adventure Calls. So. All right. No, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Be a little bit mysterious until then. But in any case, I want to take a moment here to just thank some people for your contributions to the podcast and making what we do possible here. I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters this week. And those are Adam T, Rory W, Cody T, Nora, Fury, Kyle, and Brock H. Thank you guys for making what we do possible and basically allowing us to continue what we're doing here and just, you know, allowing us to put so much into RSBNB Update. And, you know, you can help as these guys are if you want to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/RSBNB. And we have three tiers of support for that. If you have $1 a month, you want to put that in. You'll get a special mention in our show notes. And you help us fend the costs of hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll receive a special VIP rank on Discord, a special mention on the podcast the week that you subscribe, and also, in addition to that, everything else from the previous tier and the show notes, of course. For $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show, which, of course, at this point in time, may include video. So you can look forward to that. And, of course, we also have our tiers. We have our $15 a month tier, which is our monthly bit, which is going to be focused around something RuneScape community-related, something we want to discuss in a deep and enthralling level. And I know, Sirion, you enjoyed that when we discussed the evolution of combat a couple of weeks back. That was definitely quite something, wasn't it?
I learned so much during that episode. It's it's crazy and probably one of my favorite recording sessions ever.
Yeah. Also, I should say that we are in the process of determining what the next monthly bit will be. Currently, we have until Monday on that. Currently, the vote on Patreon is tied 2-2-2. And for those of you guys who can't see that, The choices are reimagining the RuneScape interface, the unproportional influence of the community, the official forums versus Twitter versus Reddit, and the purpose of the PMod. Oh, it looks like the purpose of the PMod is actually winning. That's actually got another vote. So that could still change by then, but if you're interested in having a vote on that, all you need to do is check out the Patreon page at patreon.com/RSBNB. And I should also say that starting in August, we will be live streaming RSBNB Update as part of that bonus tier, $45 a month. So you can look forward to RSBNB Update appearing on a Twitch TV channel near you. So that should be good fun, right, too. Because then there will be no outtakes, will there?
There will not be. We'll do it live. Do it live.
Good old Bill O'Reilly. All right. So, you guys ready for questions? Specifically, question from Parnassius this week?
Yeah.
All right. It's an audio question, so let's have a listen.
Hey, guys. It is Parnassius back with a quick question for you this week. We saw last week that Jagex released a bunch of old Treasure Hunter items into the game free, which you can claim from Diango. These included the Astromancer's outfit, the seasonal coronets, and such. This is great to see. However, wouldn't it have made more sense to put these into the Oddment store? I've unlocked all the cosmetic outfits that were in there when the actual events happened, and personally, using the Oddments on prismatic stars and lamps just doesn't sit right with me. I don't use silver hawk boots, so the feathers are a waste of time to me. I've already got well over 1,000 of them sitting in my bank from other rewards anyway, and have no use for the dragon trinkets on offer either. It just seemed a wasted opportunity to enhance a pretty bare reward shop, in my opinion. Love to hear your thoughts on this and what you think of the Oddments store as it stands. It seems to be very limited in what it offers and in its lifespan, personally. What would you like to see added into it yourselves? Second up, I have a question about the upcoming player-owned farm update. The mods have said we won't be slaughtering any of our livestock because the players didn't want to kill the animals. Will we see a World 66 riot by the meat-eaters of the community against the cruelty to plants when we violently rip the fruit from the trees or wrench the herbs and vegetables out of the allotments? I mean, if the vegans won't let us kill our livestock, we should oppose them killing off the plant life. And that's it from me. Happy RuneScaping to you all. And again, thank you in advance for the great podcast.
Okay. All right. Oddment Shop. I was under the impression that's what was going to happen too with old Treasure Hunter items, is that they'd be thrown into the Oddment Shop. Because, I mean, we're getting thousands upon thousands of oddments now when we're using the clue scrolls. So I was under the impression that would be happening as well. And I think that would have been a better way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's nothing in the Oddment Shop. It's pretty useless. So, yeah. Definitely think he has a point.
Yeah. I don't know if we need to use Diango for that, because if they put him in Oddments, it would certainly provide a way of bringing those in the future for other items as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Sirion, I know you had some thoughts on this particular part, or do you want to save that for later in the show?
You know what? Let's save that for the end.
Okay. All right.
So, what about rioting, Shane? Would you riot for the vegetables?
No. And you know, it's interesting. You know, it comes down to World 66, and that is, of course, Clan Quest's home world with that. So. No, Sirion, did I ask you what you thought about the Oddments? I don't know if I did.
Yeah, you did.
Good. Okay. But, you know, I honestly thought when the farm was going to come out that they should have went with a way of slaughtering livestock, because that's, you know, part of ranching, right?
Yeah, but, dude, it's the internet. They would have blown up on them. That shit would have been on MSNBC by the end of the day. You can slaughter animals in this online MMO. No. They probably made the right decision on that.
I, I, I don't know. Like, it's really weird. Like, we kill monsters and, like, not even just monsters as in demons. We kill cows all the time in the game. And if you look at other games, like, this is what you do, right? You kill stuff. Like, if you play a survival game, you might have to kill and skin something. Like, this is all around us. So I don't see why it would be a problem if that became part of RuneScape. Like, if they would maybe, like, put themselves as this, like, family-friendly game, then sure, but we're already killing cows and chickens anyway. I don't really see the difference.
I mean, I agree with you. I just think that the internet would have a heyday with it.
You know, I think that there is a point to be made that there are indeed situations where the community and the internet blows up about something RuneScape related, and the last thing I can think of that happening was last year's Old School Pride event. And I don't think you'd have a reaction on that level if you put animals that you could kill in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just don't want any trouble from PETA, because they can be really annoying. Who wants to deal with that, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying, who wants to deal with that?
And you know, that there are people in certain categories, in certain vegan categories, not all vegans, but some of them can become rather militant. So,
yeah.
But I mean, it's a bloody game. There's bigger issues than that, you know? I remember reading stories back the day when GTA 4 came out that people were upset that you could, you know, kill people, run them over, and then kick their heads down the street.
Yeah.
Like, we're not at that level, so it's not that bad, right?
But we were fine with GTA 3 being able to shove a hooker in your car and blast her for all your money after you got done with her. I mean, that was fine, no big deal.
Right, and I mean, you got to ask, what is the age demographic of this game, and does it really matter?
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
you know, it's not that I disagree. It's just I think in their analysis, it was probably like, how much crap are we going to get versus how much extra content will you get from actually slaughtering the animal, kind of thing. You know,
and
really, do ranchers actually do a lot of that themselves, or do they load
them up in a truck and send them?
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, it's not that far off if you think about it that way.
True, and it's not the 1800s anymore either.
New RuneScape skill. New RuneScape elite skill, butchering.
That would be cool. Yes. And if one of your Iron Man die, you get to eat them.
Yeah.
Yep. Nothing goes to waste.
And on that note, I think we can move on. But just to recap that, you know, we would have no problems if you could butcher the animals if the POF player-owned farm. But I think at the end of the day, like you guys said, they did choose to go that route. And oddments definitely should have been used for those treasure items. So.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well then, if you guys want to send in your own questions, you can email questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave them on our forums at update.rsbnb.com/ask, or you can even leave them on Twitter. That's an option too. @rsbnb, leave us a direct message there, and we'll get your question on the show. So, you guys ready for some tech news?
Yeah.
Go for it.
We got going on in the world?
All right. Well, you know, this story reads as though it's almost alternate reality, let's just say here. But Apple today hit $1 trillion in market cap.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of food for people that are hungry.
And to be
$1 trillion,
right? And to be fair, that's not $1 trillion in profit. This is just, you know, $1 trillion in value that the company perceivably has. And you know, there's lots of questions to be raised today in today's world about if there is indeed, you know, enough gold or enough, you know, physical tangible fiat currency out there to represent such a thing. But that's, you know, a topic for another show and a topic for a different economics podcast, which I would be happy to talk about at some point if someone wanted to. But, you know, this is something people were eyeing for a long time, and it happened this week after Apple announced their earnings, which is their best earning quarter since 2015. And this bump towards $1 trillion was made possible by the stock gaining 2.92% in after-hours trading on Thursday. And as a result of this, the share price closed at $207.05. So that pushes Apple beyond the $1 trillion valuation market cap number. So
sorry, Sirion, go ahead. Oh, okay. I just want to know, like, do we know if that is real value, or did they do the whole stock buyback thing like every other company got the tax break? Because if so, that's kind of artificially inflated. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really know what the true value would be if they hadn't bought back their stock.
Let's see. The company revealed an adjusted outstanding share count of 4,829,926,000 on Wednesday, along with the third quarter results. And that factors in hefty stock buybacks and nudged the trillion dollar per share price to $207.05. So,
as I suspected.
So it was a bit of manipulation, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all about optics for the market, right? It's all about how the economy feels psychologically in that regard.
I mean, analysts saw this coming, right? Apple, this was going to happen.
It's on the radar for months.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, it's a really interesting thing because from what I've read, like, a lot of people are wondering if Apple has reached its peak. But yeah, like, if you look at this, like, the value, it seems to still be increasing. And I wonder how far it will go before stalling.
Right. And, you know, this is something you and I have discussed, and you and I have discussed a lot recently. It's the fact that you and I feel as though that Apple is not the same company as it was under Steve Jobs, and they're just coasting along, but yet they continue to amass these record profits. You know, we talked about the issues with the MacBook Pros and how the MacBook Pros are not optimal anymore. We talked about the various iOS and ecosystem problems too.
Yeah, like Apple hardware. Yeah, I'm just going to say Apple hardware was the best. Like, there was no question about it. If you wanted a proper laptop, like, 10 years, 5 years ago, you bought a MacBook because that was the industry standard. That's what people got. And the MacBook Pros are still good pieces of hardware, but I'm not sure if they're worth that price anymore, the extra price tag of Apple, the Apple tax, basically, on top of any product you pay. And the same with the phones. Like, what big new thing did they do with the phone? Like, the iPhone 4, I feel, was the last big chip. Yeah. No, the iPhone 4 was the last big thing they did. And then last year, the iPhone X was the big reveal. But
I still keep it in the desk just so I can have it.
Yeah.
Yep. I still got mine.
I never had a 4. I had a 5.
The 4 is amazing because it has this glass background on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was like, it was a beautiful device, right? It was new at that time. It was unique. Now the iPhone, even the iPhone X, like, it's
same stuff, just different.
It's the same, like put in a Samsung phone and an iPhone next to each other, and the difference are not there.
Like the difference between this 8 Plus and a 6 Plus is the CPU, the camera, and this little fact that there's no actual home button anymore. It's just a little touch feature. So
I mean, I'm not saying there's no developments in that respect, but like Apple used to be the big one pushing things forward. Like, Apple used to take the big steps in making, like, the iPhone, like, the smartphone was Apple's invention. I just want to let that sink in. The smartphone was Apple's invention. Where's the next big thing? There hasn't been anything since the iPhone.
It was supposed to be the iPad, but then Steve Jobs died.
Yeah, like, the iPad, great, but, like, it didn't really revolutionize the tablet space.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know... Like,
to be honest, these days, would you get an iPad or would you get a Microsoft Surface?
Especially when the Surface is the same price as the iPad.
10 years ago, there would be no questioning you would go for the Apple variant. But now you're thinking, this Microsoft Surface is looking pretty juicy. And the same, I think, with phones. Like, there's really good Android phones out there right now. And they're looking really good. Yeah. I think you can get something that's almost as good as an iPhone for much less money these days.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this is what Apple is doing, is that if you looked at this earning report for this quarter, the second highest value next to iPhone sales is services, followed by the Mac, followed by the iPad, and then other, which includes the Watch and the AirPods and whatnot. So their services section, which includes the App Store, AppleCare warranty, Apple Pay fees, iTunes, iCloud, all of those things is what they're making the second most money off of next to the iPhone now. And when you think about it, that is what locks people into the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they're making their success today. And it's not a question of innovation and whatnot. It's just a question of holding people into that ecosystem. And granted, it's a good ecosystem if you have the Mac, if you have the iPhone. It works.
Right, but here's the problem with that. If you have a trillion-dollar company, put them together, them with Microsoft, Google, whatever.
Facebook.
Look at all these gigantic companies. How will there ever be innovation at this point? Because anybody comes along, they're just going to buy them out anyway.
Yeah,
they have a $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that should be concentrated in.
Well, they don't have $1 trillion. Like,
they don't have it physically. They don't have physical revenue or profit.
The value they have is, like, they can't throw $1 trillion. Like, Apple can't buy Google.
No.
Like, they can't. Like, no. That would be hilarious to see, especially what the EU thinks about that. But, it is true, like, innovation. But then again, when Apple did all this innovation, it was already a big company. It is possible. And but the innovation has to come from the competition between these big companies. I don't really see a new big company entering the space unless you get these big companies from like China and Russia and India going global.
That worries me, especially the China and Russia ones.
It should. That's a podcast for another day, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. As is the social values of what Apple and Facebook and all those other companies could be doing in the Bay Area to help things along. Sirion and I had a good chat about that this week. So our next piece of tech news is a couple days back, but this next thing is called the Data Transfer Project. You can find it at datatransferproject.dev. And, you know, just when you think that Google and Microsoft and Twitter and Facebook are all going to be evil together and lock you into that ecosystem, well, they have this thing that they're cooperating with now called the Data Transfer Project, which was founded last year, and it is an open-source service-to-service data portability platform so that you can move your data between these online service providers. And the idea behind this is that Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Twitter, these are all involved in this at this point. And I think that's really good because, granted, there's still the network effect. If you know people who are on Facebook, you're not going to get them to move off Facebook and you're going to have to chat with them there. But if you don't have that anymore and you want to move all your data to Google Plus and Google Address Book or whatever it might be called, you can do that now directly from Facebook. Same to Microsoft. I don't know why Twitter's on here. There's not much of a place for tweets in any of these other big three companies, is there?
Mm.
But
no, maybe President Trump wants to start using Google Plus so he can map on the messages.
He can't speak in longer sentences. Twitter is his limit.
So, yeah. Use cases must for have, this.
Must have been an interesting day then, that the day that Twitter messages became twice as long.
Yeah.
So use cases for this include trying out a new service, leaving a service, or backing up your data. And, you know, this is what they suggest you can use for this. And they specifically say a user in a low bandwidth area has been working with an architect on drawings and graphics for a new house. But at the end of the project, they both want to transfer all the files from a shared storage system to the user's cloud storage drive. They then go to the data transfer project UI and move hundreds of large files directly without straining their bandwidth. So you don't need to download those files from Google. You just send them to whichever other platform that you want to put them on. You know, and this is also big, I think, for moving from, you know, say OneDrive to Google Drive. It's a shame that Dropbox isn't on here, because then I'd use this to move all my stuff from Dropbox over to Google Drive. So, and, you know, basically it's an open platform, so anyone who wants to, who has, you know, skin in the game, so to speak, like Dropbox in particular, could take advantage of this. So, you know,
this is good for the other companies, though, too, right? Because now they're going to have access to all of the other companies' people's data.
Only if the user wants to move stuff over.
Okay.
So if you wanted to move your Facebook from Google to Microsoft, all that data, you could do that. But if you wanted to move all your Google data to Facebook, you could do that as well on here. But it has to be something that you specifically consent to. So, this is kind of like a cloud app, so to speak.
The reason why this is good is data portability is always good. But why we should be happy about this, even if we don't think about moving it, is by making it this easy to move. If you look at, like, let's say you have like OneDrive and Google Drive, if OneDrive started improving its offering like significantly, it's a one-click change to that product and starting to pay Microsoft. The competitive space just became much, much bigger. We just talked about Apple locking you into the ecosystem. This is the opposite of that.
Could you imagine if it was one click away to move everything off iCloud?
Exactly.
Oh, like, something else?
Yeah, no, but like these companies are actively working on that, which is a risk to them, but it's also a chance for them to be better. Like, this is sort of a reheating the fight to be the best, right? To have the best offering. Like, none of these products are permanently better than the other. Like, this can shift from a day to day. And I think that's amazing. Like, this is how you get innovation, because if OneDrive figures out a magic way where you can always find the document you need, like within a second, hypothetically, that is something neat. Like, if they come up with like a brand new way of doing that, people are going to move to that product because they're better. So this drives these companies to keep improving and keep innovating and keep ahead of their competition.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of initiative we need in the market if we want to keep the market healthy, given that we now only have a few large tech giants sort of leading them.
Yeah, and to be fair, there's a 25-page white paper on the project. So it is something that is thoroughly thought out and, you know, does have the potential to shift things around. And I think the biggest thing is the fact is that these big four are actually, you know, cooperating, which, you know, who would have thought that Facebook would ever cooperate with something open data related like this? So,
yeah.
I want to see someone put together a front end for this so that you don't need to run it yourself. Currently, you need to run it yourself on something called Docker, but that's a topic for another show entirely on what Docker is and what it's used for. But I mean, if you wanted to and if you knew how to do that, you could theoretically have this up and running very quickly and start moving data around. So the importance of this cannot be understated, and I think it's something that was largely missed in a lot of the tech media out there last week when this first came around. So very big, very big. So good things are happening.
Presumably. That's always nice to hear.
All right. Our last piece of tech news is, you know, I didn't want to talk about this initially, but I thought, you know, how many people listen to this show and have an account on Reddit.com? A lot of people. Basically, they say they had a security incident and a hacker broke into some of their systems and managed to access user data, including some current email addresses and a 2007 database containing old, salted, and hashed passwords, basically random gobbledygook gobbledygook passwords. And since then, they've conducted a painstaking investigation to figure out what was accessed and to improve their systems and processes to prevent it from happening again. On June 19th, they learned of the issue that between June 14th and 18th, an attacker compromised a few of their employees' accounts with our cloud and source code hosting providers. So basically what this means is that potentially all data from Reddit before 2007 was accessed, including account credentials and email addresses. And they say what was accessed was a complete copy of the old database containing very early user data from the site's launch in 2005 through May of 2007. In the first few years, it had many fewer features. So most of the data contained in this backup are account credentials, usernames and passwords, salted email addresses, and all content, mostly public but also some private messages. And if you were included in this, you will receive a message sent to your Reddit inbox that will contain instructions on how to reset your password. But the good news is that if you signed up after 2007, you are clear on this front. Now, if you got Reddit email digests sent in June of 2018, logs were accessed that contained the email digests that were sent between the 3rd and the 17th of June, and the logs contain the digest emails themselves, and these contain connect a username to the associated email address and contain suggested posts from selected popular and safe for work subreddits you subscribe to. So if you were on the site prior to 2007, it looks as though you could have some passwords compromised, but hopefully everyone out there is not using any passwords left over from 2007 at this point. So I think the majority of the users are going to be fine with this. But, you know, if you're a longtime Reddit user, you get your email digest, it's probably best to have a look into this and make sure you change that Reddit password. So,
yep. That wouldn't happen if they had two-factor authentication, right?
Well, it's funny you mention that because already having our primary access points for code and infrastructure behind strong authentication requiring two-factor authentication, we learned that SMS-based authentication is not nearly as secure as we would hope. The main attack was via a SMS intercept. We point this out to encourage everyone here to move to token-based two-factor authentication.
Huh. I'll be damned.
Yeah, because, you know, there are some cell phone providers that let you access text messages on the web. So, so there you go. But, yeah, so I think I'm in the clear. I think we're probably in the clear. But, you know, just a good general warning here for everyone to change your passwords.
Yeah, I've never posted on Reddit. So I always have someone else do it for me, you know. No, I just don't go there. I stay away.
Yeah. But I mean, I figured we needed to mention this because, you know, it's one of the largest sites on the internet. So just give everyone a bit of a warning on that. Mm-hmm. All right. So moving on to other things right now, we had our skill of the month for July, in which Sorensen 57, you know, just blew away the competition. He gained 53.6 million strength XP. Second place was Parnassius with 28 million. And in third place, we had Jama with 3.8 million XP gained. And we have a much less interesting looking August construction skill of the month.
This is four months that I know of. Does it go back further than that, that he has taken top prize?
March, April, May, June, July.
Damn, dude. trying to run the table.
You know, we did have a similar streak in the beginning of 2015 with Tim, where Tim won 5 in a row in the beginning of that.
Wow.
Then it was interrupted once. So it's been known to happen before where people, you know, run the table like that. So, yeah, I mean.
Wow. That was a good job.
Yeah, it's all there. But I think he's going to probably have another one in the bag unless one of these people competing in this construction skill of the month want to spend a lot of money.
I'm saving up for a very special skill of the month whenever it happens.
I hope it's not farming.
Of course not. I would never farm. No.
I know that's got to be coming up at some point. I'm trying to figure out who my enemies are going to be in that one.
Yeah, it won't be me. Don't worry about that.
Okay. All right. Well, since it is the start of the month, I can also mention our Informer Roundup, which you can find at informer.rsbnb.com. And I think a good title for that was The Questionable July. And what the? Yeah. Sirion's picture just changed size again. Okay, we'll just leave it at that at this point in the show. We're almost
there. You go.
Oh, there he's back to normal.
There you go.
I'm not touching anything.
All right. So I think July's title, The Questionable July, was made sense. In particular, this is because RunePass, your article, give Jagex a pass, Tanis and Sirion, you asking, what is membership really? That's a good question. And I think you're going to talk about that in just a couple minutes too. Then Alex talked about the music. You know, we talked about all the fun stuff that happened in the Temple of Amanishi, but Alex actually talked about the music of it and how that changed based on the face of the fight. And then following up kind of based on what we talked about on the monthly bit, David talked about taking advantage of the tick system. So you can find all that and more at informer.rsbnb.com. And, of course, the more this month includes the guest article from Chodo of Clan Quest entitled The Hood to Rule Them All. Yes, I did get Chodo to write an article about a fake subgroup within Clan Quest, and I.
Oh, it's not a fake subgroup, all right.
Well, it doesn't exist on paper, does it?
What?
It doesn't exist on paper.
Are they like the boys in the hood, yeah. Or are they boys in hoods? This sounds scary.
Well, no, they're benign. They're benign.
Benign.
but I also wrote essentially the Bible on recording RSBNB update, the audio workflow side of it at least. And as you guys can tell, based on the wondrous technology we have here, we're still pushing that video workflow forward and making it better. So something will be out on that at some point in the future. And also this month, just a bit of a goodbye or a bit of a temporary goodbye sabbatical, let's just say, for Colton. He's taking a break from writing for us. And I went through his archives and found what I think are some of his best articles ever, including Majorat Lore Part 1, Examine This, and NPC Profiles, including an NPC profile on the Gnome Child. So you can find all this and more at informer.rsbnb.com. All
Very
right.
Cool.
I believe it's time for Achievements of the Week. So what do we got, Tanis? Start with you.
Well, we have Cena ATN with 99 smithing on August 1st. We have Nordic Falcon with 99 magic on August 1st. We have Pata Polo with 99 smithing on July 31st. Waffle Topia with 99 fire making on July 31st, and Senver with 99 fletching on July 30th.
Nicely done.
And then we have Sina ATN with 99 fletching on July 30th, Halal Bacon with 99 fletching on July 30th, Tanbino with 99 divination on July 29th, also on July 29th, we have Snowlight getting 99 fishing, and then Jammo got 99 magic on July 28th.
Nicely done. And rounding out the week, we got Ali the Wise with 99 attack on the 28th, Blind Man 0122 with 99 smithing on the 28th, Alpha Leo with 99 Prayer and Constitution on the 27th, and Wolfotopia once again with 99 Construction on the 26th. So congratulations, everyone. Nicely done. Good achievements. Excellent.
Great work.
All right, so pick of the week time. Sirion, what you got for us?
So, because I'm on video, I can now, like, actually pick something off my shelf and just pick it. So, today I want to talk about this game, which is called Exploding Kittens. We just talked about butchering people at a forum, but this is quite literally about exploding cats in gruesome different ways. This is like one of them. I don't know if you can see it. Doesn't look like my webcam likes to focus.
I got it.
But yeah, it's basically it's I don't really know how to explain the game. It's on the box. It says 2 minutes to learn, 50 minutes to play, and I think it's about right. It is really straightforward. Basically, you have a stack of cards, and you draw from the stack in turn. If you pick an exploding kitten, you're dead. That's it. Now, sounds boring and made out of chance, but of course there's rules to make the game more interesting. So you can have diffuse cards, which means that you diffuse the exploding kitten, and you get to put it back in the stack. And you don't put it somewhere randomly. No, you get to pick where you put it back. So you can put it on top for the next player. You can put it like, you can count the number of players to make sure that that person that's sitting next to you that has annoyed you before get the card. You can do lots of fun stuff. And there's different cards that allow you to like skip or like make the next player do two. Lots of interesting cards. It's a lot of fun. It's super easy to pick up. Like, it takes 2 minutes to learn. Like, the rules are really simple and straightforward. And it's one of these, it has become one of these games that whenever I travel somewhere, I tend to just throw it in my suitcase, because whenever you're with a few people and you have nothing to do, you can just pick it up and play. But it makes, it's a lot of fun for like a lot of players as well. You can put like multiple decks on top if you want to play with a large group. It's one of these games that just, whenever it happens, fun and choose, and people start to make each other explode and lots of cats explode, and the art on this is great as well.
I know of people who played this on tabletop and whatnot, and you know, I don't think you get the same effect doing it on tabletop that you would in real life.
No. And it, I mean, it's great. It's made by a famous webcomic artist. I don't know the name from the top of my head, but like, it's made by it's a Kickstarter game. I can't find it right now, but it's based on like a webcomic, like the graphic style. So like the art on this is great. You have like nope cards where your opponent gets fed a sandwich with extra nope sauce. Like a lot of cards have like this unique art. It's a joy to read these. I think my favorite one is the Taco Cat, which is a Taco Cat who very clearly wants to say that the Taco Cat is a palindrome.
Nice. My favorite thing about these kind of games is that you can play them with people, and you can play them, like, the best part about playing some of these games, in my opinion, is that if there's someone you want to make have a bad day, you can do that. And this sounds like one of those games.
Yeah, this does sound like one of those games. I play with my family sometimes, and my mom gets so competitive in these games. She becomes like an absolute pain to play with, but it's so much fun. If you want to play this, your friendship needs to be able to take a small hit. Like, it's the blue shell of card games. Like, that's maybe a way of putting it. But lots of fun. It's pretty cheap to get. There is an expansion on this. So if Exploding Kittens are not enough, you can also get Imploding Kittens.
Ooh.
Lots of expansions, lots of fun. And I think it's still under active development. So, take a look.
All right. Link will be in the show notes where you can. On. I assume you're going to throw in like an Amazon link or some site.
Yeah, I'll throw in like an official website link, which has the rules. Right. And a really good video as well. Just like, it's like a 1 minute video explaining the game. which is hilarious on its own. So,
update.rsbambi.com for that. All right. What have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tanis. What have you been doing this week?
Actually, I have been doing a lot of fishing. I went back to the deep sea fishing, and I've been doing the swarm again for a while. Because I am working on preparing for a certain skill of the month that I know has to be coming.
Oh, fishing.
No.
Cooking.
But I'm maybe. But I'm doing stuff in preparation for that. Yeah.
All right.
So that's what I've been doing all week, basically. I cashed in all my divine charges and picked up my fishing pole and headed to the deep sea port.
All right, away we go. I'll go next in that case this week on RS. You know, I feel like I'm getting into a routine where one day is divination gathering, another day is going to be for, you know, just doing, you know, off the cuff things, you know, like the miscellaneous stuff, and just running around doing some stuff in that same vein. Another thing I did this week is, I don't know about you guys, but have you guys ever looked into grape farming?
No.
As in regular grapes, Shane?
Yeah, like just the grapes on RS, you know?
No, but we need to talk if you're farming grapes.
Yeah, I am. Because you know, in the span of 2 to 3 grape farming runs, which, you know, you can log in, do one. There's, you know, 3 easily accessible grape patches. I don't say 4 because the other one's on Entrena, and that's really a pain to get to with the farming.
Yeah.
So what I have effectively managed to do is I have had numerous days where I've made over $2 million in pure profit from grapes, converting them into Super Ceridoban brews with my Toad Flax and my Nest from the Kingdom. Just, you know, straight up profit by doing that. So that's actually a good thing that I have been doing with that. Beyond that, I actually did go back to deep sea fishing myself as well, because I had this Rod-O-Matic sitting in my bank and it was at level 5 and I just wanted to, you know, get it finished. And I did some fish flingers and I finished that to level 10 and I got level 100 invention. So
nice. There you go.
So, you know, just progressing through that, you know, I think I'll get to 101 eventually for the Divine Hoover, or Divine Vacuum, if you guys want to call it that. And then we'll just see where that goes from there. But, you know, it's all about money making at this point, I feel, because what point is there training Herblore if there's no double XP weekend? Right?
That's true, but why would there not be a double XP weekend?
Exactly. I anticipate we'll be hearing very soon about one in September.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you don't want to trade that in. Save that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. So that's basically all I've been up to on RS. You know, not too much for the clue stuff. Everyone remember to check your Oyster and check your Premier Vault since it's the start of the month. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Sirion, what have you been up to on RS?
I'll start with the mundane stuff. So I've been trying to finally take off all the arc requirements. It's making me a bit salty, I'm not going to lie.
Isn't there a title for that, salty?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You actually get the salty title when you finish all of them, and I think it's an accurate title. Yeah, it's just a bit of a pain. My playing times are so random, and some of these, like the castaways and the birds, require you to log in on like a specific day, and like one of the birds only appears on one island on one day of the week every 30 minutes. I'm like, I can't promise, like I can't make myself either at a specific time. It just doesn't work that way. So dealing with that, but I'm making really good progress. I got all the mushrooms. I got all the berry seeds. I just need to plant them all. So yeah, just taking those bits off, basically. I also finally got my Manifest of Reputation to 10. So I'm back on track with all the achievements. I'm hoping that in the upcoming I don't know which weekend it is, but like the weekend where you get more domination factor or dominion factor, I can finally finish the desert toss and be done with that.
Oh, don't remind me of that.
But July was a questionable July and made me rethink why I'm still playing the game. I was not sure about what to think about Rune Pass. I mostly made it pass by, no pun intended. I didn't really bother with it. I didn't claim any rewards. And I think it was last week or something like that, or maybe the week before, where we found in the game data the crate of lamps. And at that point, I did a quite literal table flip, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, we were preparing for Armageddon on that week's update.
Yeah.
But it never came, and it didn't come this week. So
I think I have said to Shane, be right back, I'm literally flipping a table right now. I didn't actually end up flipping a table, mostly because there's stuff on the table, otherwise I would have done it and sent a picture. But it made me rethink a whole lot of stuff. Like, I have been complaining to Shane about lamps forever. Like, every single week. What's the last time you had a normal lamp from Treasure Hunter? When Rune Pass was on, I was telling Shane, I'm so happy that I'm getting normal lamps from Treasure Hunter again. And after that, it was back to mayhem. And then I saw the crates and was like, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm not even sure why I'm doing Treasure Hunter every day. I don't, like, the majority of the experience I'm getting these days are from lamps, because I log in to do my dailies and I don't get XP from that. I do get XP from the lamps I roll on Treasure Hunter every day. And I'm not enjoying the game anymore. I don't feel that the last two invention levels I got are mine, because I disassembled one item and I got there. The rest was lamps. So I made the decision to stop using Treasure Hunter altogether. Instead of clicking the icon, the chest, I just click it away, ignore it. And you know, I've been enjoying it so much. It surprises me what a difference it makes in the game. I don't feel as inclined anymore that I have to log in every day. Like, sure, I'll miss out on my daily port voyages, but I don't really care about those. Like, I just, it feels like everything that I achieve in the game is my own achievement again. Like, everything, like, the experience has, we always talk about how GP becomes worth less and less over time, but I think we never really addressed the GP, like, the XP becoming worth less and less over time. And I was a slave to Treasure Hunter. I came in every day and got my chests, and I stopped doing that, and it just feels better. It feels like I'm back to the original game. I don't want to go as far as being an Iron Man, but I think all the lamps I got over time have given me so much that they reduce the value in the achievements I reached. So I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to stop using Treasure Hunter altogether. I have sometimes have fallbacks in my behavior, just automatically clicking the chest and getting my keys. But it's getting less and less. I'm going to stop using it. Next time Vic comes along, I'm going to sell all my bonus XP and be done with it. Next time, I'm not using the premium vault anymore. I'm
so
just
you're effectively
clear.
Almost becoming like an Iron Man.
I'm taking the part of the Iron Man that gives you all the free stuff. And see, there was the Twitch Prime thing. I redeemed the Twitch Prime thing and used the rewards. I think that's fine. I think it's, if it's a temporary event, I think it's fine to accept these things. If you have like one of these 10 reward tiers and you get like a box with a lamp in it, I will use that lamp, but I will not use keys anymore or anything that's related to that. And I know I'm giving up on a whole lot of value. Like, I've got Premier Club and I get a daily key every day, and if you add up the number of keys, that's a lot of money I'm just throwing away. Basically, that's basically a gold Premier package value there, and I don't care. It's great. I find it really, like, I, when I saw people,
I guess you could say it's your version of going RuneScape vegan then.
I wouldn't call it going RuneScape vegan, but I think I finally took the power. I was using Treasure Hunter every day because I thought I had to, but you don't. Like, I think that's sort of the thing I want to tell people. People get really angry about Rune Pass. You don't have to use Rune Pass. You can ignore it.
You could, and that's what I've been telling everyone as well. You can ignore you can ignore Rune Pass. You can ignore Treasure Hunter. Your achievements are your own.
And I ignored the Rune Pass thing, and I was like, why can't I do this with Treasure Hunter? And be honest, ignoring Treasure Hunter in-game is hard. RuneScape throws keys at you whenever you want. They throw the shaking box in your face every time you log in. There's a card showing you the current number of keys in the current promotion. They are in your face about it, but you can't ignore it. And I think everybody should think about how they want to play the game, and they should make this a conscious consideration. Jaggers wants to make money. I accept that. I wish they would be more considerate about it, but it is in your power to say something. And I hope it gives a signal as well. Like, if there's a player that every day clicks away Treasure Hunter, I'm hoping that shows up in their statistics. And I mean, if Treasure Hunter goes away and Rune Pass comes back in its place, I'll be a happy person. I'll be ignoring Rune Pass, but I think I'll be in a better place. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to, or rather not been up to, I guess. And I hope that, like, I'm not gonna be like, if you want to keep using Treasure Hunter, please do. I think it should be your game. It's the same. I would never play Hardcore Iron Man. If that's your game, do it. And I think the choice to do Treasure Hunter should be like that. And I hope that with this little rant/essay, I've made people aware that they can make this choice. It's there. And, you know, why not try it if you have had the same complaints about Treasure Hunter as I do, which is endless promotions back to back, completely sort of overflowing us and overloading us with signals.
All right. Yeah. And you know, that makes sense. I think everyone should realize that you're not forced to play the game in any specific way. And if it makes you happier to play that game, do it that way. And I mean, it shouldn't make you feel as though you should be guilted into doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's definitely a good realization, and hopefully a lot more people will come to see it that way. So I think that would also fix a lot of the community issues with Treasure Hunter as well.
Yeah, I mean, and if it became a more widespread thing, right? If Treasure Hunter became something that only 50% of the players do, then maybe that sort of triggers something in the Jagex side to maybe make it a bit less in your face and give, like, if there's like a checkbox to just turn off the little shaking box.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That would improve my life a lot.
Yeah. We'll never get that, but that would be cool.
It's there for the same reason that if you're playing free to play, there's a big upgrade button that you can't dismiss.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. Well, I believe that wraps this episode of RSBNB Update. I don't think there's anything else to say. Just that we'll be back next week, providing nothing major comes from the August month ahead post that we get tomorrow on Friday. I'll just say that if you want to chat with us in game, you can find us at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. We're also on Twitter at RSBNB, and of course the Patreon at patreon.com/RSBNB. So we'll see you next week, everyone. And remember, full show notes can be found at update.rsbnb.com. Have a good week.
Take care. Yeah.